This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 51.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Alex is ready to answer your questions and provide you with the tools you need to succeed in real estate, all through case studies, current real-life transactions, and proven marketing strategies. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Welcome back to another Flip Empire Q&A show. And if you're joining us for the first time, my name is Alex Pardo. And on today's call, what I want to do is I'd like to dive into and talk about our process after a lead comes in and our lead manager identifies that a homeowner is motivated. I want to walk you through the process because some of the questions that I've gotten over the course of the last few weeks is, you know, hey, Alex, can you kind of talk about your system or your process from, you know, once a lead comes in, like how it flows through to the acquisitions manager. And then once the acquisitions manager contracts the property, how does it get transitioned over to sales? And then from sales over, once it's sold with the cash buyer, how does it go over to the transaction coordinator who then works with the title company? So well, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to break this up into the next, into like a three-part series, where this will be part one. And I'll specifically focus on a lead comes into our funnel and it goes from our lead manager to the acquisitions manager. I'm going to focus on that. And then the second Q&A, which will be next week, will be, I'll talk about, you know, what our acquisitions manager does to then get it over to sales. And then from sales to the transaction coordinator would be the third Q&A. So over the course of the next 2-3 weeks, I'm going to release these. And I think it'll kind of give you an insight as to how we personally do things. And I've, you know, we've tested some different ways of going about, you know, making sure that a lead goes from kind of point A all the way through the funnel to point Z until closing. And we're constantly refining our processes. We're implementing new things in our system. And you know, we're never satisfied, I guess is the best way to put it, with the way that we have things. We're constantly looking for ways to be more efficient. And a big focus of ours, something I've talked about on previous Q&A shows, is not only lead generation and marketing, which is really step one. And you know, as you guys know, if you don't have leads coming into your pipeline, you know, you pretty much don't have a business. But I think a lot of investors neglect the second aspect of that, which is lead conversion. You know, the most expensive lead that you need to acquire is a new lead. Okay, so don't forget about the leads that you've already generated that hopefully, you know, you're putting into your CRM, whether it's Podio, whether it's FreedomSoft, whatever it might be. Make sure that you're following up religiously with those leads that come in because you've spent money, you've spent time and effort generating those leads. So, you know, again, one of the things I see a lot of people do is they're constantly trying to market for new leads, which is important. You have to do that, but don't put aside the fact that, okay, well, lead generation is one aspect of it. Lead conversion is a completely different thing. So take a look at what it is that you're doing, you know, to convert the leads that you have in your system. So having said that, basically what I want to do here is just, again, peel back the curtain, talk about what we do. So if you've heard on previous shows, we have two lead managers. They're both based out of Colombia. Because here in Miami in the South Florida market, we have, you know, it's heavily populated by Hispanics. And so it's important, you know, for anyone that we have on the phone to be bilingual, because a lot of the sellers that contact us, either they speak English and Spanish or they only speak Spanish. Obviously, there's people that just speak English as well. But, you know, the point is that we have a lot of people that only speak Spanish. And, you know, try having a conversation with someone in a different language, and it's not the best way to build rapport, obviously. So that's why it's important to us. But what we've done is that we've trained our acquisitions managers to focus on the motivation, focus on the why. What is the reason the seller wants to sell? One of the first questions we have them ask is, you know, if the seller is actively looking to sell or are they just testing the market? And that phrase right there, testing the market, their answer to that question will really tell you a lot about what you need to know. If they say they're just testing the market, 9 out of 10 times, usually 10 out of 10 times, really, there's no motivation. They're just curious. They're kind of kicking tires. They want to see what's up. But as opposed to what we used to do in the past, which was, you know, once they find out what the seller's asking, if it's not a deal based on the after repair value, based on the comps, we always just have them send a written offer. But now what we've done over the last probably 6 months or so is, if there's motivation, forget about their asking price and what they're looking for, set an appointment for the acquisitions manager. And one of the things that, whether it's you on the phone or if you have a lead manager or, you know, a phone processor, whatever you want to call them, if you have somebody on the phone, or again, even if you're on the phone, there's a few different things. I'm not going to talk about the exact script that we ask, because honestly, there's no like secret sauce, magic formula with the questions you ask. The questions that you probably are asking are okay, or they're fine, they work. The key is to really listen. Like I said, for the motivation, find out what's their why. Now, if you identify distress, okay, so they inherited the property, there's a death in the family, the property has violations, it needs repairs, there's a divorce going on, they're behind on payments, you know, they accepted a job and they're transferring out of state, you know, whatever the case might be, you know, you have to really drill down and try to avoid the surface level answer. And I forgot, I heard that somewhere, and I can't give credit to the person who I heard that from, because I don't remember where I heard it. But basically, the surface level answer is what they initially tell you is the reason they want to sell. Oh, you know, whatever it might be. You got to drill down usually and ask two or three, sometimes four questions to really identify the root of the reason they're looking to sell. And that's kind of where the magic happens. Once you find that out, we'll determine your next step or your next, you know, course of action, whether it's sending an offer because, you know, they're just not motivated, or whether it is in fact setting up an appointment. You want to make sure that when you set up an appointment with, for you or for an acquisitions person or somebody to go meet with the seller, you want to make sure, number one, that you're meeting with all of the title holders. Everyone that's on title, i.e. the owners of the property, you want to make sure that you're meeting with them. One of the things that has happened to us in the past is, you know, our lead manager, they do a fantastic job of, you know, going through the script, identifying motivation. On a few occasions last year, I recall they set up an appointment for the acquisitions manager, and I'll talk about this in step two. The acquisitions manager, we have some quality control checks in place and some, you know, checks and balances to confirm the appointment and verify we're meeting with, you know, with the title holders and the owners of the property. But there's a couple appointments that we went on last year where we were meeting with the husband and not the wife, or the wife and not the husband, or it's siblings and we're meeting with two of them and not all three of them because they inherited the property, or it's a probate situation. And what happens is that, you know, in cases like that, everybody that's on title, if you're going to get the deal, needs to sign off on the purchase and sale contract. Okay, you need to get everybody's signature. And then oftentimes what happens is that they're not ready to move forward until they can communicate or convey, you know, whatever you discussed in the meeting over to the other party. And then now you're relying on that person to sell the situation, sell the deal, whatever the case might be, over to their sibling, to their spouse, their family member. And then a lot of things get lost in translation. And then what happens is you have to usually end up setting up another appointment if in fact they did a decent job of, you know, conveying the benefits of working with you. But sometimes they could screw it up and they could just be like, oh, we're not interested or whatever. So just, it's very important. Make sure, I guess the takeaway is that you're meeting with all of the decision makers and all of the owners of the property. If you can't because they're out of state, then that's a different situation. Try to get with them on a conference call, on the phone, because you want to make sure that you sell yourself and the service and the benefits that you provide, as opposed to just meeting with one person and then relying on them to convey those benefits over to the other decision maker. And then again, understanding the situation. If it's a probate, you know, who's the personal representative? Do they have the letter of authorization from the judge? You know, are they living in the property? Is it rented? Another thing is make sure that you can meet at the property. Now, sometimes this isn't possible because there might be a squatter, which here in Miami, that's pretty common, or it's rented and they don't want the tenant to know. So you kind of have to like work your way around that. You definitely want to get your eyeballs on the property. And then we always have our acquisitions manager, once they go on the appointment, and this is something I'll touch on the, you know, on the next Q&A call, is we will have them take pictures and a walkthrough video, but only after they've come to an agreement in writing with the seller. You don't want to break rapport by doing that before, but we'll get into that on the next Q&A. So anyways, I think, again, just to kind of put a bow on this episode, really it's understanding the situation, you know, being an active listener and, you know, not accepting or settling for the surface level answer that the seller gives you, but they're really drilling down as to why they want to sell, collecting all the information. And then the other thing that we do is once our lead manager confirms that all decision makers will be at the appointment, the process is that we use Podio. We've also used FreedomSoft for this. You can use either or, or any CRM you're using really. So we have him document everything into the lead record. And then we change the status and, you know, we click in Podio appointment set, and that automatically creates a task for our acquisitions manager. And it sends a comment tagging the acquisitions manager that, hey, listen, there's an appointment set on this day, on this time, you know, and then there's a little mini checklist of things that the acquisitions manager has to do. Number one, they review the entire lead record. They look at the numbers, they look at the comps, they look at the situation, they verify that, you know, in fact, that they're meeting with all the decision makers by checking the public records. And then they contact the seller and they just kind of do a quick recap of the situation. They confirm that they're meeting at a day and time at the property and that he's meeting, in fact, with all the decision makers. That's very important that you have those checks and balances. And then we'll talk about, you know, what the acquisitions manager does from here. But at this point, we've transitioned the lead over from the front line, which is our lead managers, over to acquisitions. And now the ball's in the acquisition manager's court. If there's something unique about the situation, the property, then we always, you know, instruct our lead managers, make sure that you have a conversation with the acquisitions manager and let them know, you know, maybe as part of a conversation, the seller revealed that the daughter's going off to college and she's really nervous about it and they're going to go visit the campus. I'm just shooting from the hip. I'm completely making this up. But just so you get the idea, it's important that those those minor details, which are not so minor, are conveyed over to the acquisitions manager, because you better believe that that's one of the things that he'll bring up when he speaks to the seller. It's a way to build rapport on the phone before the appointment even takes place. And you'll find that if you do this and you go the extra mile, sellers will put their guard down so that when you meet with them, it's that much easier to continue to build on that rapport you've already built. And it just moves you along the sales process. So hopefully you've enjoyed this. Let me know your thoughts. If you have a different way of kind of going about this and having a lead transition from you or a lead manager over to the acquisitions department in your business, I'd love to hear about it. You can comment on the blog. And yeah, I look forward. Make sure that you tune in for part two, which is going to be talking about what happens once the acquisitions manager then goes on the appointment. You know, what happens at that meeting? And then once they contract the property, how does that go from acquisitions to then our sales or dispositions department? All right, so I'll catch you on the next show. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.